Today's Tanya, for the 29th of Iyar, Chaf Tes Iyar, is on page 788 in Lessons in Tanya. And it's in chapter 52. In chapter 51, the Alter Rebbe began explaining the meaning of Hashra'at Hashchina, that what the Yanuka is quoted in the Zohar as saying that you need Uvdin Tovin, you need good deeds, mitzvahs, the act of mitzvahs, in order to keep the fire, which is the Shechina, connected to the body, which is the wick. And the mitzvah serves as the oil that connects the wick to the flame, to the fire. So the Shechina, being the fire, is connected to the body, which is the wick, through the oil of the mitzvah. And in that way, the Shechina rests on the person. So the Rebbe is explaining, what does it mean that the Shechina rests? God is everywhere, les asar poni minei. God fills the entire world, which means not in terms of space, but in terms of condition, that in every condition, the holy condition, the unholy condition, there is godliness there. So what does it mean that in certain places, God, the Shechina, rests, and in other places, not? So the Rebbe begins to explain, the level of Shechina means not the essence of God. The essence of God is everywhere, equally. But the Shechina, being a revelation of God, the Shechina is centered or contained primarily in one place, in the Holy of Holies, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Beis HaMikdash. The analogy that the Alter Rebbe makes is with the Neshama giving life to the body. Mipsori Ech Se'eloka. To understand God, we have to understand the workings of this body and soul. So we see that in the neshama, there is the essence of the neshama that has absolutely no relationship with the body at all. It is much higher, too high, to give life to the body, even from a distance. Rather, there is within the neshama, there is an element of life that does relate and can relate to the body. And this is called Chai Be'etzem. This is called the essence of life. Not the essence of the neshama, which is higher than physical life, but the essence of life as we know it in the body. So this life that we experience in the body, its essence is contained within the neshama. Although the neshama itself is much higher than even the essence of the life that comes to the body. This chai be'etzem gives life to the entire body without any distinction between brain or foot, and from it come two forms of specific energy. One is very specific. It is clothed within each organ of the body according to the organ's composition, so that there is vision in the eye and hearing in the ear and speech in the mouth and so on. And then there's the more general life in which all the limbs are treated equally and they're all given life from this Chai Be'etzem. So we have basically four levels. You have the essence of the soul that is completely removed and much higher than the life of the body and doesn't contribute to it at all. Then there's the level of Chai Be'etzem, which is the essence of life that will eventually express itself in the body. Then there's the highest Kloli that comes from this Chai Be'etzem that gives life to all the organs equally. And then there's the highest Prati that gives the specific faculty to the individual limb according to the limb's composition and properties. Now this Chai Be'etzem, which is the origin of both forms of life that the body receives, is housed primarily in the brain. And it's from the brain that we get both the general and the specific life flowing to the body, to the various parts of the body. So on the one hand, we would say that the neshama is everywhere equally in the body, but that's the essence of the neshama. When we say that the life of the neshama is housed primarily in the brain, and it's from the brain that it spreads to the rest of the body, here we're not talking about the essence of the neshama, we're talking about the essential life but the life that is given, not the essence of the neshama, but the given life, the essence of that life is in the brain. And in the same way, the Shechina is a part of God, an aspect of God, that is the origin of all creation and of all the details of creation, while the essence of God himself is higher and far removed from creation. So on the one hand, we say God is everywhere because creation is of no significance. And so the highest part of creation and the lowest part of creation, or whether creation exists or not, is all the same to the essence of God. And therefore God is everywhere equally. But when it comes to Shechina, which is the origin of the creative force that gives life to the world, this Shechina, like the essential life of the body, is housed in a particular place. And where is it housed? In the intellect. In the brain, so to speak. Which is called the Holy of Holies, the Chabad of each level. As the Rebbe will explain. Today's Shir on page 788. Aval HaShechina Atzmo, the Shechina gives life to the entire world. But the Shechina itself, Shehideishit HaGilui V'Ikrei, which is the beginning of revelation and the essence of the revealed godliness, Ma She'ein Sev Baruch Hu Me'il Eilem Ezbu B'Chinas Gilui, not the essence of God, which remains hidden from the world, but that part of the Ein Sev that illuminates, that shines to the world and is revealed to the world, and it is not that which gives life to the world. It is the origin of that which gives life to the world. Because the life that comes to the world, to creation, from the Shechina is only a ray of the Shechina, just as the ray of the sun is not the sun itself. So the Shechina itself, the Shechina itself can't reveal itself directly into the world. That it should be that which is within the world itself. Only a ray of the Shechina can actually enclose itself in the created condition. So although it's called Shechina, which means indwelling, but it doesn't mean that the Shechina itself is enclosed within the world. It means the Shechina is that part of godliness that is relevant to the world, that has some relationship to the world. And because it has a relationship to the world, whatever kind of a relationship it is already called Shechina. But not that it literally is dwelling, is clothed within the world. We spoke earlier, on an earlier occasion, that there is an aspect of tzimtzum, of concealment of godliness, that comes not from the fact that God hides himself or withholds revelation, but on the contrary, there's a certain kind of a tzimtzum, a certain kind of hester panim, where God is concealed and unknown in the world, unrecognized, not because he isn't present, and not because he isn't revealed, and not because he isn't giving, but on the contrary. Precisely because God gives so intimately, what God gives is so appropriate to the created state, to the creation, to the individual creature, that the creature receiving this energy and this godliness, this life from God, feels so comfortable with it that he doesn't recognize that it's coming from outside of himself. He thinks it's him. That's why people can believe that the world always was, or that it created itself, not because God doesn't show himself, but because God gives of himself so thoughtfully and makes it fit the created being so well that it feels so natural to the created being that he assumes that it's his own. So he feels the life, and he sees the life, only he doesn't recognize that it is a given. He thinks that it's something he always had. The idea of a Shekhinah, on the one hand, Shekhinah means the part of God that dwells within the world. And on the other hand, when we say Gilui HaShekhinah, or the Shekhinah rests, we mean a revelation of godliness, not a concealment of godliness. So when we say that godliness is clothed within the created being itself, if he is clothed, mamash, within the created being, then the created being will not recognize the godliness. He will assume that it's his own life, it's his own energy, it's his own existence. When we say that the Shekhinah is revealed, we mean that that part of godliness that is given to the world is greater than the natural capacity of the created being, and therefore the created being is forced to recognize godliness. So the Shekhinah that we're talking about is the origin of that energy that is invested into the created being so deeply, so intimately, that the created being thinks it's his. The Shekhinah is the origin of that life. And because it is the origin of that kind of a life, it too is called Shekhinah, indwelling, because it has a shaychus, it has a relationship to creation, to the created being, while at the same time it is much greater than the created being. And the created being would not be able to endure and to encompass this kind of a revelation if the Shekhinah itself would be revealed. In other words, if it were revealed to the created being, they would become completely bottle and nullified in the presence of their origin. Just as the light of the sun, which reveals the sun, but while the light is in the sun itself, it exists but only as a part of the sun, not a separate entity, so that you wouldn't speak of the sun and its light, because there in the sun, there is only the sun. And the light of the sun is the sun. Only when it leaves the orb or the body of the sun and spreads out into space, then you have two things. Then you have the body of the sun and you have the extension, the light of the sun. But if the light of the sun remained within its source, then there would be only source, there would be no light. And in the same way of the Shekhinah, which is the source and the origin of the existence of the created being. If the Shekhinah were to be revealed to the created being, then there would be only Shekhinah. Then the created being would experience godliness, he would not experience himself. In the Hayyim Yayim for the 29th of Iyar, the Rebbe writes that Aliyas HaNishama, elevation for the soul in heaven, occurs Sholish Pomim B'chol Yayim B'Hagimel Tfilis. Three times a day the Neshama is elevated, and that is during the three Tfilis Shachris Mincha Maariv. U'Befrat Nishmas HaTzadikim, particularly the souls of Tzadikim, the Yelchu Michael Ochoyo, of whom it is said that they go from strength to strength, constantly growing, the Dover Vadai, so it is a certain thing. Ashe b'choleisu b'chol mokim kodesh yesam, that at every time, and whatever holy place the neshama of the tzaddik finds himself, neisim zino tfila, they offer up prayers ba'ad hamekushorim aleihem, to those, or for those, who are bound to them, who are mekusha to them, and also bound to their instruction, and they keep their instructions. The people who are bound to them and to their instructions, and who keep and follow, observe their instructions. And even more so, do they offer up prayers for their Talmidim, the Talmidei Talmideihem, and the students of their students, to be aided and to be helped physically and spiritually. in a sicha from the Siddiq Rebbe, it says that there's a chassid and there's a chassidl. A chassidl is someone who is devoted to the Rebbe out of love for the Rebbe. A chassid is someone whose love for the Rebbe is so complete that he doesn't love the Rebbe himself, only the Rebbe himself, but he is devoted to the Rebbe's devotions. The Rebbe's concerns are his concerns. So that not only does he love the Rebbe, he loves the Rebbe's projects. What is important to the Rebbe is important to him.